Ethan had the treasure chest, as you remember. We give them an assignment. Take the gospel home in the treasure chest and bring something back. So what you got in there?
I brought an army man.
An army man. Okay.
Because they sacrificed their life for others.
Well, how cool is that? That's really pretty neat. You had me stumped when I saw the army man in there. Remember the other word of this is stump the chump, right? Well, that's really cool. Because they give up their lives for others.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Jesus asked the disciples a question. And as people of faith, there's probably not a more important question to be asked. And that's, who am I? Who do you think that I am? And he asked that of the disciples. And they sort of hung out and looked at one another and said, you're maybe John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. They kind of gave him the newspaper clipping headline definition. But then he says, no, not just those folks out there. Who do you say? You say that I am. And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. So, Sophie, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven. Zoe, how old are you?
Six.
And we're not going to ask Mr. Hall how old he is. Ethan, how old are you?
11.
13. 11.
So we go all the way from 6 to 13. But who is Jesus, Sophie? Who do you think Jesus is? You want to think about it a minute? Okay. Ethan, who is Jesus?
The Lord, like the Son of the Lord.
The Son of the Lord.
Son of the Lord.
Okay. Zoe, who's Jesus?
The Son of God.
Okay. From the mouths of babes, who is Jesus? Okay. There's no more important question than asking that. Here's why. And you guys got to put your aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads on the spot. When you get out of here, I want you to ask them, who is Jesus for them? Because when Peter answered that question and said, you are the Christ, you are the Lord of the world, you are the Son of God, everything changed. From that moment on, everything changed. And Jesus says, yeah, that's right, but here's what that means, because they think it means something different. But Jesus is always trying to tell them what it means. Now, how many of you have ever had a garden? Have some of you got a garden? You ever have rabbits in your garden? What do you do to keep the rabbits out?
Fence.
Bang, right there. You build a fence. Now, why would you build a fence around your garden, or around your house, or around your business? Why would you ever build a fence? What's the purpose of a fence? Zoe, why do you have a fence?
So then your animals don't escape.
Yeah, they don't escape, or somebody doesn't come in and take your tomatoes, or, yeah.
Or else a thief would come.
Yeah, excellent. You want to keep out all the bad stuff. Like a thief could come. And you want to keep the good stuff in. So you want to keep your animals in. You want to keep your bad guys out. So you build a fence. And one of the prophets is called the prophet of Isaiah. He says that God builds a hedge around a vineyard. He builds like a fence. And that's to keep stuff safe. In the Jewish tradition, there are what are called rabbis. And rabbis are kind of like priests would be for the Jewish tradition. And they have a saying, they say, build a fence around the Torah. Now the Torah is the law, the first five books of the Bible, and they're really important. But what the rabbis did is they made all kinds of rules and laws so that the closer you got to this Torah, you wouldn't violate it, you wouldn't break those rules. So they built a fence, a theological fence around it, like building a fence around a garden. This is why it's so important that you know who Jesus is in your life. Not only for you guys, but for me and for all these guys out here, because Jesus is the context of our lives. Jesus is the fence around the Torah. Jesus is the hedge around our vineyard. Jesus is the fence around your garden that keeps the rabbits out and all the good stuff in. Because you know what? Life is kind of hard. I mean, even at 6, you had a dance recital last week. Did you kind of worry about that? That you'd be able to make your move if you didn't worry about that? Well, there goes my whole point.
She might have been a little worried.
She might have been a little worried. I was worried for you.
That's why she didn't have to worry.
Yeah. But you see, life sometimes can be pretty hard. You know, we know that there are bad people out there. Sometimes bad people hurt good people. And we just learned that this week. You know, last Saturday night. And that breaks our heart. But Jesus is the fence around our vineyard, around our garden, around our house. That keeps the good stuff in and the bad stuff out. Jesus, in answering the question, who do you say that I am, for us, is so crucial. Because it's in that context that we live and breathe and have our being. Guess what Monday was? The 13th of June. You'll never guess. Can I tell you? Pick me.
Olivia's birthday.
Yeah.
Olivia's birthday.
Yeah. One that was visiting.
Olivia's birthday. It was also August's birthday, who's my sister's grandchild. It's his birthday. Pick me. Okay. It was my 35th anniversary to the priesthood. June, I was ordained. But you know what also June is? Oh, pick me. Okay. It is the 6th anniversary of my coming here to serve at St. James. Now here's the interesting point. I only served 5 years with the Franciscans. I've been with you guys longer than that. So this is my longest appointment. And it's interesting that I didn't appoint myself. I didn't get appointed by the bishop. You guys appointed me. I got the letter in my Bible, by the way. It was dated the 2nd of June. My response was dated the 26th of June. And I prayed on Monday night, and I said, why? Because certainly this didn't work out the way that I had planned it. Not when I was ordained 31 years ago. It just didn't work out the way that I planned it. Why? And very clearly what I heard is because I am the context of your life. When you accept this relationship with Christ Your life is in that context. And Jesus became for me the hedge around my life. Because I am not, and this might surprise you, I am not a disciplined man. I'm a goofball. And if left to my own devices, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble. I got in enough trouble being a Christian. But had I not had Jesus to be that fence, to be that context of my life, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know how I could have dealt with the pressures of life. I don't know how I would have dealt with the disappointments or the losses. But Jesus, when they said, "You are the Christ," he said, "Yeah, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get crucified and die, but I'm going to rise." So in that context, I think, you know, I can deal with the tragedies and all the bad guys because my heart has a fence around it. And that fence around my heart is Jesus. But it has all to do with choice. Do you want that fence? That's what the answer is. I mean, that's where it comes for all these guys. And for you, even if you're 6 or 13 or 7 or 11, because Jesus did exactly what Ethan said that army guy did, is he protected us by giving his life. That is the context in which we live our lives as Christians. And at least for me, that's the only way that I could be kept safe. And not only safe from other negative events, but safe from myself. Because left to my own devices, it was just party on, Garth. Let's put the hammer down and go forward. But with Jesus, I was able to keep my life in balance. And it gave meaning to my life. Even though it didn't work out, my life didn't work out the way that I thought that it would, it still worked out. And it worked out in the center, in the sense of, in the call of the Lord. And that's what we're all called to do. And that's what you guys are called to do. Is let Jesus come into your heart. Even when you're little. Or when you're older. Or when you're really old, like Mr. Hall. Okay? I love to pick on him with that. But you let Jesus come in. And he becomes the fence around your garden. So that the rabbits don't get in. Right? And that the animals stay inside. All the good stuff stays in. The bad stuff stays out. And if there is hard times, and they will come, then you can be sure that you're not going to be alone. Okay? Well, we only got one more thing to do. And that's to figure out who wants the treasure chest for the third Sunday of July. I have to admit, that was a little unenthusiastic. Okay, Zoe already had it, and Ethan had it. And so, do you guys want to pick a number between the two of you to figure out which one gets to take it home? Okay.
No matter what one.
Okay, I have 10 fingers behind my back. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
5. 10.
2. You win. Okay, here's the deal. So your kiss is still there.
Yeah.
Here's the gospel for our next one. It's a story about Martha and Mary. You'll take the treasure chest home. You'll talk about it with your mom, dad, and your family. You put something special in it and bring it back. Who remembers what Zoe's treasure chest item was?
A globe.
A globe, because Jesus was Lord of the what, Zoe?
Earth.
Of the earth, of the whole world. And Ethan's was an army man. Good job. Thank you guys very much.